Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversation Podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where every week we dive into the topics of mental health, adversity, spirituality, or societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia, and join me in this week's episode as I sit down with Jamie Lerner, a renowned life coach and author, to delve deep into the transformative power of self-love and laughter. Jamie and I explore the concept of self-love as the foundation for personal growth and fulfillment. From her wealth of experience, Jamie shares invaluable insights on how embracing self-love can profoundly shape our relationships, careers, and overall well-being. We discuss practical strategies for cultivating self-love, even in the face of adversity, and how it catalyzes positive change in our lives. Throughout our conversation, we navigate the notion of viewing life's challenges as opportunities for growth. Jamie eloquently guides us through reframing our perspectives on setbacks and obstacles. Jamie Lerner is the co-author of the book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You. She can put a fresh spin on just about anything that anyone throws her way. Her unique and masterful ability to reframe even the most difficult situations is astounding. Suddenly, your biggest nightmare becomes your greatest pleasure as she lovingly helps you sift through the contrast and find that small opening of light that quickly becomes your greatest jumping off point for clarity. Please find Jamie on her website, jamielerner.com, and please leave a review or a comment in the comment section at the end of the episode. I would truly appreciate it. And a brief word for our sponsors. One thing that's really helped my mental health is a daily routine. Every morning, after doing some breathing exercises and cold exposure, I like a smooth cup of coffee. I've been drinking Four Sigmatics coffee for the last 3 years, and it's been very beneficial for my routine. I especially like their lion's mane and chaga mushrooms coffee, which helps me with my mental focus and energy every morning. Four Sigmatics is on a mission to infuse functional mushrooms into the foods and supplements people love and use daily. Their goal is to enrich minds and improve well-being. By pairing lion's mane with coffee for focus or reishi with cacao for a sense of calm, their brews, blends, and powders get everyone in a good headspace so they can focus on what matters most. Check out Four Sigmatic and use the code EASYCONVERSATIONS, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order. Today's episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can be very difficult for many people to start. In my personal experience, when I was going through my divorce, therapy allowed me to bridge a significant gap. With the help and support of my therapist, I was able to uncover a lot of repeated patterns and behaviors that were impacting my life. Through goal setting, I was able to focus on things that required attention, which allowed me to improve the relationship that I had with myself and, by extension, the relationship that I had with others. As a therapist, I've been able to see the positive benefits that clients are able to derive through healthy rapport and goal setting. BetterHelp allows a lot of flexibility where clients can schedule video sessions, sessions on the phone, or through messaging. In most cases, BetterHelp will match you up with a licensed therapist within 48 hours. If that's not a good fit for you, BetterHelp will work with you to find the right fit. Join over 4 million users today by following the link in the description or going to BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/easy10 to get 10% off your first month of therapy. Jamie, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm honored and appreciative of you reaching out and wanting to come on here and talk to me. And I'm really excited about the topic we're going to cover. It's something I've written about too. But before we start, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners and let us know a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm a well-being therapist, and what I do is assist people from getting to where they are to where they want to be. But I was a psychotherapist for a long time with a thriving private practice and realized that I really wasn't assisting anyone in doing anything. So I stepped away from that and found my way to doing what I'm doing now, which I think is really empowering to people and gives them the opportunity to take personal responsibility for their journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. And definitely responsibility is huge. I look at that for even the people I work with. Healing doesn't happen unless we're willing to take responsibility. And that's where I find a lot of people get stuck. But on your journey, as you mentioned, you felt at some point you weren't offering what you wanted to offer as a psychotherapist. Why was there that disconnect? Because psychotherapists are meant to help people and support them on their journeys.
I think that psychotherapy spends a lot of time looking back, and that gives people all the excuses that they need to not even think about the option of moving forward. Mm. And so I didn't feel good participating in that, knowing that ultimately my belief is that people do want to move forward and that there is a way to do that without looking back.
Mm-hmm. And so when you see people that are starting to move forward, what's different? Like, what are they doing differently? And this could be part of that responsibility piece that you talked about as well.
Yeah, I think that the first thing I ask people to do is if they need to look back from their right here now perspective, because it really is different to look at it from where you are in your now in your life, as opposed to revisiting it as either a small child or a victim or however you perceive that was actually happening. And I think over the years, we drag it along and it just becomes bigger and takes on such a life of its own that we don't really allow ourselves to fact check like what actually did happen. And could that have been why we are in a place now where we have a superpower? If we're going to look back, let's use it as an opportunity to identify as the strength or a superpower in terms of where we are now. And then where do we want to go?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think there's a part of a lesson we can also take? So when we're looking at past from where we are today, you can also, at least what I found, is take a lot of lessons from those experiences too.
I think that the lesson is the contrast, that without that contrast, we would not know what we're desiring for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, but did we have to go through all that to learn the lesson? I don't think so. That's why we don't have to look back to forgive ourselves or the people that were in that story from a place of origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just an opportunity and not a lesson. A lesson sounds punitive to me. Mm-hmm. An opportunity sounds like a wide open door.
Right. Okay. No, I appreciate that. And that does make a lot more sense too. And then when you and I connected offline, we talked about self-love being huge. How does that piece fit into all of this?
I think that the most important relationship that we have is the one with ourselves. And that is the foundation for every other relationship we go on to have with somebody else or other people. I think it has to start with how we are connected and to ourselves first and foremost. And that's a scary thing for people. Most people have done everything they can to avoid that. That's really where it all begins and all ends. You know? It's never about another. And that's a hard pill to swallow for people.
Right. Yeah. And why do you think, because I've looked at it from my own angle and done a lot of self-discovery around this, And I came to realize there was many barriers I had created in my life to prevent myself from giving that love to me. So then because of that, I was seeking it outside of myself, from people, from situations, from accomplishments. And it was the kind of love that you would get for a little bit, but it wasn't sustaining or long-term. It was very conditional. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on why do you feel people are blocked off from that ability to give themselves that love, especially knowing, and I think some people come to that realization and some don't, but knowing that the relationship we do have with ourselves is probably the most, absolutely the most important.
I think our society makes it very difficult for us to even consider that, because we're continually being asked to look outside of ourselves for everything. And we are conditioned to do that. And when you give people permission to start looking inward, to start trusting themselves and knowing themselves and remembering that intuitively they have made decisions throughout their whole lives, whether they've listened to that intuitive knowing or not, they've heard that. I've never heard anybody say, I should not have listened to myself. But you hear people all day long say, I should have listened to myself. And they don't even know what they're actually saying when they say that, because that is a confirmation that you do know for yourself. So that's foreign to people. And yet, that's where it all begins.
Yeah. I do want to come back to that inner voice or the idea of listening to ourselves. But you talked about society and stuff. And a lot of the people I work with too, you think about the common analogy of putting your oxygen mask on first or filling your cup first and taking care of yourself first. But I think a lot of people also get stuck in the, but that seems selfish. And they put this resistance immediately. How do you navigate that? Because that was, when I hear people say that, I have to walk them through it and explain why their own self-care, self-love is paramount in order for them to give it to others. Putting themselves first is important. But I see a lot of people getting stuck with that and thinking it's selfish rather than self-love.
I think that people do think that, but I also think people use that as an excuse not to sit with themselves. And that's where it begins. We're talking about little things like first thing in the morning, addressing yourself, asking yourself, what do you appreciate about you? Not what does someone else appreciate about you, but what do you appreciate about you? And it's those little moments. And it could just be 10 minutes a day where that gives you the message that you're worthy and important to yourself. That goes a long way.
Yeah. And I appreciate you adding that in, that it is an excuse often to not be able to sit with themselves. And that's one of the things I also discovered and I felt was a huge barrier for myself. And I see it with a lot of other people where there's so much discomfort in sitting in stillness and being alone with your thoughts or just being alone in general. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and it made me uncomfortable at a time in my life too. There's so much peace and so many answers and things you can heal within yourself in those moments of solitude and stillness that I feel like people don't put enough emphasis on. And I just wanted to highlight that because you touched on it as well. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, I think it's a societal issue as well, that people struggle to be alone and spending those crucial moments, whether it's meditating first thing in the morning by themselves or just taking time to themselves in general. But yeah, I don't know. Again, just want to get your thoughts on that as well.
So when I work with people, we laugh a lot, because if you really tuned in to the things you're saying to yourself, you would have to laugh. You would not talk to any other person the way you speak to yourself. And the only thing you can really do is laugh, because it's hysterical. 99% of it is not true. And So I think laughter goes a long way and a little bit of levity. And this does not have to be so hard. It could be really fun and gentle. And the idea to embrace ourselves with loving curiosity, I think that's such an important part of this, where you're not sitting and criticizing yourself or kicking yourself. You're actually listening to yourself with curiosity and embracing yourself in a way that really no one else can do for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And that feels really good.
Yeah.
And I think, and to what you touched on earlier, and I wanted to come back to, was when you get more comfortable with sitting with yourself in stillness, that's when your inner voice really starts shining through, and then you're able to hear it. Whereas, as you were saying earlier, people tell themselves, oh, I should have listened to myself, but there's so much doubt. And I feel what I've learned recently, doubt often closes our heart off because we're not sure. And then we often look outside for messages, and then we get all these conflicting messages, and we don't know where to go with that, all that information. But if we were in tune and we're spending that time in stillness, then that voice is louder and we can make more wise choices. Otherwise, everything's blocked off.
Yeah. And the idea that someone else would know better for you, ridiculous. Really, only you know for yourself, but you don't know for others. And this is difficult for people because they think they know for everybody else. You don't. But you do know for yourself. And that gets really complicated for people.
Yeah.
People that are very tuned out have an opinion about what everybody else is doing. But yeah, they're stuck with themselves. So yeah, we have to start with ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you're right. Like, a lot of times it's easier to displace that need for healing or project it onto others. And yeah, exactly. I've seen so many people who are just giving advice to everyone, but not taking that advice for themselves. And there's a quote I read yesterday from Rumi, who's like, don't, when you're on your heading out on your journey, don't take advice from someone who's never left their own home. Just something to be mindful of. But there's another thing you touched on earlier, forgiveness. And the reason why I wanted to come back to forgiveness is because that was a huge component in my self-love journey. Forgiving others that I was, for some reason, held on to these past experiences, and they were just, it was like baggage, carrying baggage around my whole life. And then a lot of it came down to forgiving myself for not knowing any better. And often you hear that narrative where people feel like they deserved what happened to them. Why is forgiveness so essential?
When we forgive ourselves, we forgive everybody else. It's amazing at the point that we really are so connected to ourselves and in that place of compassion for ourselves, with ourselves, then that gentle eye is cast upon every other person. And it's really a lovely way of connecting because we're so open, and that puts others at ease.
Yeah.
So it's a win.
Yeah, and there's a component of compassion that comes through too, because when you're able to forgive yourself, you're also being compassionate, and then you can express that towards other people. And to your point, it becomes a lot easier because you're not being as judgmental for some of the choices other people make, because you're just holding that sense of compassion. And I find that has been huge. And I feel personally, if more people were compassionate, we would just have easier discourse. Things would be a lot easier. We would be able to navigate situations a lot better and come to more agreeable solutions. But that, I think that's what's lacking in society today, is people's inability to be compassionate because they haven't given it to themselves.
Yes. And I think the personal responsibility really comes in to play there, because my children think I'm like, they just don't get me because I let everyone off the hook for everything. And they're like, well, what is wrong? And it feels so good to only be responsible for myself, and then to allow other people, wherever they are, to just be where they are and be who they are. And that is also a lovely way to move about the world in care, where you're just aligning your own business and focusing on what you're doing. And it really doesn't matter what other people are doing. You respect whatever their choices are. It's not your choice. Maybe you won't participate in that, but you can excuse yourself in a very loving way without judgment. And all of that feels good.
Yeah.
And that's the reason to do it. And that's how we maintain a connection with ourselves and then others.
And when you see letting people off the hook, I would assume there's still some boundaries in place, because part of self-love is setting boundaries too, right? And not letting people walk all over you. But
nobody can walk all over. You can allow somebody to walk all over you. You can allow that. But when you're in a place where you're completely connected to yourself, that isn't even an option, because you're so clear where you are and who you are. There's nothing that can disrupt them. It's really where our personal power is, all of it. So no one can upset you. No one can piss you off. My kids, all the time, they try to push my buttons. They can't. And it's maddening to them. They're all grown. They're out of the house. I have grandchildren. But the whole idea is just, they don't get it. And for me, to be able to be in a place all the time where I'm just like in a good place with myself and no one can really bother me, it feels really good.
Yeah.
No, and it's very powerful.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a component of confidence that comes through, right? You're so confident in even your choices because you're not, as I touched on earlier, there's no doubt. Because you're so in tune with yourself, you have
it's just clear.
Yes.
It's clear. Clarity. Yeah. But I don't impose any of it on anyone else. So I am not an expert for anyone. I'm an expert for myself. And in terms of what other people need or what they want, they need to tell me. I don't know what you need or what you want. And that's also very confusing for clients, because they're not even used to asking themselves what they need or what they want. They're used to being told. So we have to work on that a little bit before anything happens.
Yeah, no, I see that a lot, where clients or people will be like, this, my wife wants this, my kids want this, my parents want this. I'm like, okay, let's slow down here. What do you want? And then it's like they got hit by a bus, right? They're just saying, what? Like, yeah, what do you want? And it's the first time either someone's asked them that or the first time they've had to actually think about it. And it takes them, they get rattled because they've never really put thought into it. It just takes them so much time and there's like such a long pause. But then they start seeing it. To your point, the more you work through that, okay, what do I want? Then you start getting that clarity and just feeling that sense of comfort. But it takes a long time for a lot of people to even start thinking that way.
Permission goes a long way. People really need the permission to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you're doing this whole journey with people, what are some, like, help us, or if you don't mind walking us through, what do the stages look like, if there's any stages?
Before anyone has to work, before anyone does work with me, they have to take enough personal responsibility to reach out and tell me how much time they want. And so that's like big at first. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know how much time we need or what. No, you need to tell me. So from the very beginning, there's a sense that, wow, maybe I do know for myself. Maybe I can ask myself these questions. And that's really where it starts. But a lot of it is just reminding people that none of this is a big deal. Like, this is just like a moment and then the next moment. And if you make a decision in the next moment, you make another decision, there aren't consequences. These are their outcome, the desirable outcome, an undesirable outcome. People don't need to take this all so seriously. Like, none of this is life and death. This is just a lovely opportunity to begin a long-term connected relationship with yourself. for yourself. Literally, this is all for you. And if you choose to then reach out and attract somebody who you can connect with, then you're coming from a really healthy place and you probably will attract a really healthy person.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard because people are anticipating it to be a lot of work and to be painful. And it's neither.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a gentle process. And it's really about lovingly becoming curious about you. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. The curiosity can be scary, right? Because you don't know what may come up. And yeah.
That's the other thing. If it comes up, but you don't need to dwell on it. You don't need to analyze it. You feel it, you let it go. You don't become it. And I think that we're so used to in this society, like becoming every single emotion that we feel. And it creates so much drama and it's so exhausting and it's so unnecessary.
Yeah. And do you find that there's, to your point of, around identifying with all our emotions, there's a sense of attachment there, right? And I feel people are so attached to their emotions or the thoughts in their head. And often it's simple as just detaching from these things. And again, then you get that sense of clarity. But I wonder how much of it is that attachment piece that people are not willing to let go.
And then you have to ask yourself, and I ask people all the time, is that serving you? Because if it's not serving you, then maybe pick something else to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the biggest piece. Again, very similar way when I ask people, is this serving you? And right away, it just, a light goes off in their head, right? It's okay. Yeah, it isn't serving me. So I guess I need to ask myself, why am I doing this?
Or it doesn't even matter why, but what would you like to be thinking about the next moment? Because we only can do that for ourselves. We're only in control of what we're choosing to think about and how we're choosing to feel about what we're choosing to think about. Other than that, we have no control. So you're in control. You're feeling something that is very uncomfortable for you. And now your next choice is in the next moment. Would you like to be thinking about something else?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I am very curious about your journey, though, which I wanted to come back to. So yeah, you were a psychotherapist, realized that you weren't really doing the type of work you wanted to do. What was that gap in between? And just out of curiosity, just trying to understand.
It was really uncomfortable for a long time because I knew there was never going to be the right time to do it. But I knew that what I was doing wasn't working. So I was very much not in a good place. But I was nervous about making the transition, knowing that I don't even know what I was nervous about because it was clear I wasn't doing the right thing for myself or assisting other people. So I think there's never a good time. But the message got louder and louder. I became more and more comfortable. And then I finally just said, fuck it. That's it. But my journey started when I was born. I was very connected to myself and did not have a connection with my mom. So I spent half my life trying to figure that out in terms of how could I be so connected to myself and remain connected to myself, but have no connection with this person that brought me into the world. And it turned out to be a superpower for me because I learned very young and early, that's all I had was me. And so I never looked anywhere but in. So that's a great example of what some people would feel sad about. And I feel so appreciative for the mother that brought me to this world because of my ability always to just know myself, hear myself, and trust myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I'm very curious because a lot of the times we hear a lot of our attachments, we learn early on in life. And those are obviously through the relationships we have with our caregivers or our parents. And a lot of those attachment styles that we build early in life tend to predict how what kind of attachment styles we'll have in our adult lives. And sometimes we need to work through the insecure attachments and build secure ones. I wonder, in your case, as you said, you didn't really have that connection with your mom. How did that impact your attachment style, and how did that show up later on in life, if it did at all?
I think, and my parents were amazing, I have to say, that they really supported all, there were five of us, all of us, in terms of anything that we were choosing to do for ourselves. And they reaffirmed that whatever we were choosing and however we were knowing ourselves, that was correct. So I continually got internal guidance about where I was and who I was, which is very unusual. And I think that it made me difficult through every stage of my life, very clear about me. And I didn't follow rules. I was really rebellious, although not at home, because there was nothing to push against. I think that in terms of my adult relationships, I've had to consciously make room for people to join in with me. And that's been my work.
Yeah.
Because when you're so clear about who you are and where you are and what you want and what you need, it's difficult sometimes for people to find a way in to join in.
Yeah. And then what does that take on your end in terms of giving that space to other people to join in? Because as you said, when you're so clear about what you want, and other people often can get intimidated by that, because when they see someone else with so much clarity, it could be intimidating, or it could be a source of envy because of. So yeah, I'm just curious.
It also comes with a lot of grace. So it's very disarming to people. My presence is very disarming to me. I connect with people everywhere I go without saying a single word, because I'm so open. But me trusting another to join into my space is a union or a relationship. And that is my work. And I continually have to hear myself talk through that. And I know it. I know myself so well that when it's happening, I can talk myself through it. But it's all these conversations are going on with me and me. I'm not having these conversations with enough. Yeah. There's no negotiation. There's no asking people to do things differently because of how I'm feeling. Right. So there's something very nice about that, because you are always taking personal responsibility for yourself. You're never blaming another person. You're never projecting onto another person. So the relationships tend to be really pure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it, I guess just in being in your presence, people feel like they can do the same for themselves. And that's the grace piece as well. I think that comes into play.
Yeah. And when I fuck up, I'm the first to raise my hand and say it. Or if I feel like I've done something, I apologize. Like there isn't. And I'm fine with all of them. So yeah, it makes everything really easy between people.
Mm.
And yeah, you're choosing to connect.
For sure. Yeah. And I think the being able to take responsibility and own things and be open to feedback, that requires a lot of work, working on our ego, the negative ego, I suppose. Then that can draw people, obviously the consequences are the sense of arrogance and pride that we experience. How do you keep your ego in check at times?
I don't have an ego. I really don't. I have no ego whatsoever. I just don't.
Yeah.
And I don't ask other people what I should do or what to use in. I don't, if I ask them, what do you think? It's about, what do you think about yourself, your own situation? But I don't seek out advice from other people, because why would I do that? And it's interesting, because a lot of people that seek advice, they don't even do anything with it.
No.
It's almost like a conversation filler. It's a very empty I don't know. I understand it, and yet I feel like it's very unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, I often wonder if people are asking for advice just so they can feel validated. If you were to offer advice that they wanted to hear, then they'd feel validated, right?
Yeah. So I have a service called the Quickie, which is a lovely texting option. And it's really my favorite service because I text back and forth people. And it's interesting because then they have an ongoing transcript of what they are texting to me. And usually they know their own answers. I'm just like a conduit for people to like check in with themselves, but ultimately they know. And it's really empowering for people.
Yeah.
It's like self-validation. Just right. Because you have someone to text. And it doesn't leave a lot of room for emotion, which is amazing. So then a lot of problem solving happens and they're ultimately solving their own problem. So imagine that. It really works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How does that work? Great. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess just one more question. I'm very curious. How do you get to the point of where there's no ego, right? I have certain idea, read a lot of stuff around that, more so in the spiritual sense, but I'm curious about how did you get to that point?
I don't know. But it feels, all I can say is it feels really good. Wherever I am, wherever I go, I don't want to be first. I don't need to be in the front. I have no desire to tell people what I know. I think one of my biggest issues is that because I understand the work or the process, and it feels so good to be there, I want it so badly for other people. So I have to remind myself, a lot of people don't want them. And it's an instant reminder to me. But it's hard because when you have so much to give and you want everybody to have it, that's when we tend to impose ourselves on other people that they're not the least bit interested.
Yeah.
So it's a good reminder to just allow people to be where they are.
Yeah.
And then you just be where you are. And it's a tough place to be as in this profession, because a lot of people do not walk their talk that are doing this work and helping other people. And it's hard to see, but we must walk our talk.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. And that was what forced me to also seek out solitude and spend the time to do that work, because I was offering it to other people, but I wasn't practicing it. And it just became inauthentic. And I had to put the mirror to my face and do that work. But I think also, to your point, sometimes people aren't interested and sometimes people are just not ready. They're not there. And I think a lot of the times we're all on our individual journeys and we have to get to that point where we're willing or ready to take on that opportunity and apply these things, right? And
we're not.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yes.
And there's so many people that are will not. And that's okay. Because you only know what you know, right?
Yep.
But there's so many exciting things that happen in connection and life. And when you do get to this place where you can embrace yourself and love yourself and not have judgment, and life is beautiful.
Yeah. There's something Socrates said that stands, at least pops up in my mind around this, is basically said, for people that are just been used to pain and all they do is avoid that pain, that's pleasure for them. They don't know the pleasure of that comes from seeking truth and wisdom. So they're just stuck in that cycle, right? And yeah, often it's tough to see, but that's just their reality because they haven't experienced the other kind of pleasure.
And we have to be willing to say, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But to become the living, breathing example of what's possible, I think that's our greatest gift to every single person that we come across. So,
yeah, no, that's amazing. And Jamie, I do want to thank you again for coming on here and having this conversation with me. Do you feel there's anything else that would be of value for the listeners that we didn't cover? and you'd like to add in at this point?
Not really, but just know yourself, trust yourself, love yourself. You're so worth it. Yeah,
absolutely. I do give guests an opportunity to share with the listeners some ways they can be contacted, whether it's online, social media, whatever that may be. If you want to take on that opportunity, you know, how can listeners?
I have a website. It's www.jamie-ler. And I try to put out an inspirational message on Facebook every day. I'm a total failure on Instagram, so I could not keep up with that one. But yeah,
that's a big one. A big problem is, I feel like, is causing a lot of problem in society right now, as we talked about, that prevents people from going inward. But probably a conversation for another day. The whole notion of social media and the comparison mindset.
But there's other ways people use social media too, and I think it's a choice. And so once again, we can use it as an opportunity to really assist ourselves, or we can use it as an opportunity to distract ourselves. And I think that a lot of people have chosen distraction, which is totally fine, because ultimately it has nothing to do with you or me or anyone else, right? That's like giving people the pass. It's okay.
It's a choice. Absolutely. Thank you again, Jamie. I'll put all of that in the show notes. And again, I appreciate you coming on and talking with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Jamie. As always, please leave a 5-star review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. And if you haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Those are the best and easiest ways to support the podcast. And if you haven't done so, also check out the sponsors in the description. Thank you again, and until next week.